Here now, let us take a moment to acknowledge this presence. Take a deep breath into your innermost center. As you breathe in, allow your awareness to flow inward with the breath, drawing deep into your innermost source. And as you breathe out, feel the presence that you are, awareness. This awareness is all open. It is center. It is now. It is all being. Simply be present to this here now as you breathe gently, feeling yourself as this center, surrendering as this open awareness. In this moment, allow yourself to be fully present, receptive, and all open. Here now is your opportunity to be completely available to self, to this which is awareness, to be in this opening, to be in this communion of self with self. Take a deep breath in again to your innermost center, acknowledging this moment, acknowledging this presence that is you, that is all connected, this boundless oneness of being. Take another deep breath into your innermost center and gently affirm, I am here. Feel the presence that you are, the energy that is here now, alive and flowing, arising from your innermost center, that which is still and silent, and that which is all open and boundless, connected with all things. As you feel this centeredness, breathe into your body, feeling yourself centered and open. Gently stretch and open your eyes. It's beautiful to be with you all here. Thank you for being here. Being this presence and for being this communion, the communion that is awareness, that is love. And thank you to all of you who support this happening and this sharing, for making the space so beautiful for us all to enter into this sharing of peace and love and calm. Thank you so much. Communion. Really, us gathering together like this is about us entering into communion and understanding that most deeply. I see that the way our life is now, when we look at our lifestyle, the way the world is at the moment, we've really lost touch with communion quite deeply. We're very removed from what communion truly is about at large. We go about our daily activities and there's really very, very little communion occurring. So what do I mean by communion? Well, first of all, it's the presence that we are engaging with life. If we're not present as that which we are, this self, this consciousness, we actually can't truly engage with life. We can't engage with the moment as it is. We can't engage with each other as we truly are. And if we are not truly engaging, there's no communion. We may indulge in, you know, our nice little polite conversations and our pats on the back and our howdy-do's, etc., and Facebook messages or whatever else, whatever your method is, takes your fancy these days. But all of these things just indicate how superficial we've become with ourself and with each other. You know, I went to the supermarket today to get some groceries, and as I move around, you know, I'm observing and encountering life and people, and consistently noticing the inability for each of us to just look into each other's eyes with a real acknowledgement, you know, with this engagement. And that brings me to a fundamental point about our human makeup, or the way we operate with our mind, our thoughts and our feelings. Fear and love. Love and fear. Now, some people say that fear is the opposite of love, or that fear and love are the only two emotions. Well, in my experience or observation, it's not quite that way. Love doesn't have an opposite, and love itself is not an emotion. As a human experience, we express through emotion an aspect of love, merely an aspect. It's like a red in the spectrum of the rainbow, for example. It's not the totality of what love is. Fear and love. So fear, rather than it being an opposite of love, is simply a forgetting of love, a momentary lapse of awareness. And what does that come back to? This momentary lapse of awareness is that disengagement from self, from simply this here now, from consciousness, from awareness, or from our essence. That's all it is. It's a momentary disengagement. Contrary to what is often thought in relation to the ego or unconsciousness, it's not that actually anyone is living in a sustained state of being disengaged. Everyone is actually momentarily flipping in and out of being engaged or being disengaged. Everyone encounters moments of actually being engaged. And depending on your ability to be aware, to be attentive and to be conscious to this dynamic, depending on that, you will experience different dynamics that expose that in your life. For example, an accident may jolt you into complete engaged presence and you feel like suddenly you're superwoman and you're able to perform some miraculous feat that you wouldn't usually. Yeah, that's not a miracle. That's being engaged and being present. It's not a miracle at all. It is simply revealing your true nature and your true capacity in any given moment when you are truly engaged. It may be a sunrise that takes your breath away and allows you to step back from all the conditions and all the distractions and be present. Now, the less engaged we are, the more we indulge the distractions and this superficial nature of life, the more we become identified with those behaviours and with the thoughts that underlie those behaviours. That is the body of fear. So anything that indicates a feeling of dis-ease, disquiet, uncertainty, judgment, dissatisfaction, any of those signals are associated with this body of fear, which is simply this state of being disengaged. That's all. It's not who you are, it's not what you are, it's not what life is, it is simply a disengaged state. And as I said, everyone is, in a sense, flipping in and out of being engaged or being disengaged at moments in their life. So it's not that it's actually difficult for you or anyone, for that matter, to be engaged. If we understand this, we really move much more deeply into ourselves. We're much more available to ourselves. Because if we make this whole notion of being love or being loving, being present, being awake in the now, whatever it is, if we make it something complex, we just add it to the fear body. That's all we do. We just make it another condition. And really, it is not a condition. Our true nature is free of all conditions. In fact, in reality, there actually are no conditions. That's the irony. It seems like there are these conditions that you can live through these thoughts and behaviours that you've developed out of habit of being disengaged. You think somehow you are in that condition. You're not. You're just replaying it every single moment you do that. Why? Because it's familiar. Because it's been identified as a tool to cope with your fear. How many of you saw the latest inspiration that just came out? Who remembers what it was? Okay, it was about fear and love. Any further insights going on there? Fear can stop you loving. Love can stop your fear. It is that simple and clear. Fear can stop you loving. Love can stop your fear. Now, Of course, stop could be interpreted in a variety of ways. It's simply a reference to indicate that there in that moment you are disengaging. Who here does not want to live as deeply as possible in love? Who here recognizes that the moments you feel you are not loving are because at some level you are afraid? At some level there's fear. So, if we can create the space for ourselves to re-engage with love, which is here, pay attention. Drun, 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 drun. Love is here. Drun, 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 drun. So if we can create the space to re-engage with love, what's going to happen to fear? It vanishes. You cannot serve two masters. Some of you have probably heard me say that before. In the moment you identify with your fear body, fear story, the behaviors, the thoughts, the mechanisms, whatever is going on, and you are replaying that behavior or story, in that moment, you cannot recognize your true nature. You are not engaged with your true nature or the true nature of life. You cannot feel and experience love, and therefore you cannot express love in that moment. It is impossible. Likewise, in the moment you are truly connected with love, engaged with your essence, your essential self, in that moment it is impossible for you to be in fear. So what really is this love? As I commented earlier, it's not an emotion, it's not a something, it's not an event, it's not a person, it's not a relationship, it's not even the perfect relationship. It runs much deeper than that. It's much freer than that. It's boundless, it's vast, it's infinite. It's essence. And what is essence? Our innermost being, the innermost beingness of all existence, all things, essence. Now, that is not worth you trying to analyze or trying to grasp, trying to define with your mind, trying to get or understand with your mind. Don't even bother. It's pointless because essence is beyond mind. It is beyond the exploration of the analyzing mind. It's completely and utterly beyond. What is so beautiful, though, is that with our intelligence, with some innate wisdom, we can point towards essence. For example, these words that are coming to you at the moment are giving some kind of reference, some kind of framework. They're kind of pointing towards something, right? But they are not it. These words are not it. It's just pointing the way there. And it's up to you to let into where that is pointing. It's up to us to let into where that is pointing. And that is very, very simple because it is here. It is who you are. at the innermost silence of your being. It's not complicated at all. It doesn't require fancy formulas for us to encounter this essence or to be engaged, present and aware in this essence. So when we talk about love, and when I speak of these words that love can stop your fear, I'm not asking you to look outside or to look somewhere for that love or to look to someone or anyone for that love, but in. And if anyone ever indicates that you need a particular someone or something for you to know that, it's a lie. It might be that there's a mirror going on, sure. Momentarily you set that up for yourself, to remind yourself. But what for? To point you back into this which you are. This pure essence that is here. It's free of your name. It's free of these stories. It's free of all ideas of conditions. And I say ideas of conditions because, like I said earlier, really there are no conditions. Even if you've got the framework, the neurology, the mechanisms going on, and you're playing them out, still, they're not fixed. How real is that? Is it fixed? Are you the same from one moment to the next? No. You and all of existence are the display of liberation already in every moment. So, right now, we're going to share in this space. And one of the beautiful things of being in communion in this way is that there's a certain vibration that happens. As we collectively hone our awareness into that inner dimension, that inner silence and essence, as collectively we hone into that, we create a space of entrainment. That means there's a deepening. Rather than you sitting on your own and wanting to hone into that, collectively the effect is amplified. It's a bit like a tuning fork. So this is why yogis throughout the eras have always encouraged satsang and sangha, the benefit, the gift and the power of being in spiritual community, because collectively we create something much deeper and richer, and ultimately what we're here for, which is to be in communion, to be love. And what's love if we're not actually expressing it and engaging with that radiantly, nakedly with each other, authentically? I'm not necessarily meaning nakedly without your clothes, by the way. Well, you can. But just to be so free in yourself that there is no inhibition to just be truly expressing yourself in each moment. And you know what that is? That is love. To be absolutely, truly who and what you are, which can only reveal itself in the now, to be it, to express it, and to witness each other as this. To come to each other as this. That is the human fulfillment. So, let's share in this space now. Have a bit of a stretch and a wiggle if you need to. Get yourself comfortable. Remember, do you remember the first DY satsang? What did I get you all to do? So you can all stand up first before we settle in. have a good shake. And as you do, really let yourself shake through and release whatever you feel has been stored or suppressed or pent up. You're just going to shake it through. Just let yourself let go in this moment. Some of you might remember why. Why is it so important for you to have this moment of movement and releasing? What's going to happen when you sit down, you close your eyes and you make your body still, if you've still got all this agitation inside? Are you going to enter into stillness very easily? No. I love that one. Where's the video camera? Get some noise happening. Okay. Settling yourself down when you're ready. Making sure your posture is balanced, centered. So you want your spine as upright as possible. Think of your pelvic structure like a flower pot. So you want that base chakra, the perineum, to be like the very center of that flower pot, the base. And of course, if that's well balanced, you don't want it tipped forward, backwards, or sideways. If that's well balanced, your spine's just going to be floating upwards. So there's a certain uprightness, yet relaxed at the same time, almost as if you're suspended. So you might like to even imagine that before you really enter into this space. Just imagine yourself being suspended on this line of energy, pure consciousness. This channel of energy is flowing through your central energy channel, down through your base chakra, into the core of earth. And feel everything is rooted deeply into earth. Feel your seat. Feel as if you're kissing the earth and earth is kissing you. You've got that deep rootedness. And at the same time, everything is floating, suspended on that energy of pure consciousness and life force. Relax the shoulders and relax the diaphragm. Take a moment to bring your awareness down through your chest, down through the sternum, and to that space below the sternum. You want to really feel that soften and relax. So imagine as you breathe in, it's like a golden warm bath of energy. You're letting go, letting in, and relaxing. You might have your palms on your knees or in your lap, whichever way is comfortable for you. Let the face soften. The eyes are very gently closed, very light eyelashes, soft lips, almost a gentle smile, and the tongue resting at the back of the teeth on the roof of the mouth. Let the jaw relax. Bring your attention to your breath at the tip of your nose. So just focusing your awareness now. You're going to feel that vital essence of breath at the tip of your nose for a few moments first. Just put your attention fully into that essence as you breathe in through your nose and out through your nose. that clear awareness now, letting yourself breathe deeply into your innermost center now. Following the breath in, and as you breathe out, letting yourself rest at your innermost being. Letting yourself settle. With each breath, resting deeper and deeper into this essence, this aware life presence. As you are here now, centered and breathing, just allow yourself to be fully present to this moment, being here and aware from your innermost being. Allow yourself to observe the nature of yourself, of life. Simply observe. Thoughts may come and go, simply rise and fall within awareness. All events are rising and falling within the essence of life. All that you are, all that you experience, arises and emerges from your innermost essence. Allow yourself to simply be present and aware as you witness this nature of life here now. as you witness, notice how expansive life is. You are this which is center. All of life is center. All of life is connected. This awareness is all open, boundless. Here, as this essence, there is clear light of consciousness, free of conditioned thoughts, free of identity, just clear light of consciousness. Here, as essence, is calm, deep stillness, this abiding silence in which everything is simply flowing. As you feel this, recognize this absolute all-connected being that you are, that is all. This which is essence, this which is love. As this centered, open and aware presence, notice your energy. How does this essential self feel? What is the nature of this essential self? Now, as you acknowledge the nature of this essential self, how do you feel? How is it that you look at life when you are most engaged in this way? How does life look through this presence? As this presence now, take a deep, full breath in, allowing yourself to acknowledge this innermost essence, and to acknowledge what it is to be engaged, simply centered, open and aware at your innermost essence. As you acknowledge the experience, take another deep breath into your heart center. Give thanks for this essence that is here within, this eternal light, this eternal knowing, this eternal aliveness that is love. With this thanksgiving, take a deep breath into your body, feeling yourself centered, flowing, engaged and alive as your essential being that is here, connected at one with life, open and receptive. As you breathe with the peace and calm now, as this love, take another deep breath into your body. Gently stretch and slowly open your eyes. What is it you observe about the nature of this essential beingness that is you? What do you observe? What do you notice? What do you experience as you engage and connect deeply with your essence?
I find it's very relaxing. Expansive.
Yeah. So you notice there is a sense of calm. You rest into a feeling of calm and expansion. What else?
Very light and unattached.
Right. So you feel this lightness and being unattached. There's no sense of attachment, is there? And you're just present as essence. What else? Beautiful. Reaching that space of just, it's profound, isn't it? Just like, it's all okay. Right. Hence why also yogis and great ones throughout all eras have always emphasized the importance of regular practice. Because as I spoke about before, the fear body is just replaying habitual mechanisms. It's not who you actually are. However, because it's so habituated, you live through it, you keep playing through it. That's the roughness that you're getting through. And the more we cultivate this space, the less inclined we are to play out those behaviors. Yes. So that is this love of self, right? So there's a beautiful example of what I mean by communion. That, you know, how many people are actually truly in communion with who you even are? What's that? Right. So you can see then there is incredible value in actually sharing with this presence when we are collectively committed together in this way. Fantastic. What else? What about when I gave you 2 points of contemplation there. I asked you to be aware of the nature of this essential self. Just be aware of the nature of essence. And then I asked you, now how do you feel as you are engaged with it? How does your life look through being engaged in this way? So if you to consider yourself and your life, how you are occupying your life and you're engaging with life, how does it feel when you are in this deeply centered presence that's just essence? How does it feel?
It feels like you're in communion with everyone and everything and just connecting with everyone and everything.
Right. So there's a profound sense of connectedness, interconnectedness. And that's what communion is. It is conscious interconnectedness. Now, I know I keep coming back to this, and I'm going to keep coming back to this. If we consider our concerns with what's going on now in the world, this is what is required. Our return to conscious interconnectedness. If we don't get that, we do not get our oneness, and we do not take responsibility for every little action, which means we're just turning a blind eye to our destructive forces. So, conscious interconnectedness. It rests on your inner being. It needs your presence as inner being, aware inner being. Thank you, beloved. What else? What else do you notice? What's the sense of feeling, the dynamic of energy that you experience when you are just centered, present, and open as this essence?
Just felt really buzzing and alive. Just so alive.
Vitality, aliveness, buzzing, right? Absolutely. And This is what you realize when you are truly present as your essence. You feel aliveness. If you feel aliveness and you're really connected in that buzzing vitality of life, do you know you can't be dissatisfied? You actually cannot feel lack or as if something is missing or in the wrong place when you are connected in that aliveness. So any of you that recognize this recurring loop of a feeling of dissatisfaction or lack in your life, take note of that. Hone in on that. Something else?
There's the bubbling and alive, and then there's the little parts that are like, that are just, you know, that aren't there.
Aren't there yet. Okay.
Yeah.
Did you want to say something more about that?
Oh, just around, particularly around the back of my heart, just here.
So you're even noticing where you're holding it at a cellular level.
Yeah.
Well, that's really important. This is great that you raise this, because what I was really wanting you to get to with this exercise is to notice a very clear distinction between being disengaged and occupying the fear body, and being engaged and occupying essential self. When you are engaged and centered, present as essential self, the energy is centered, deep, high, all wide, and all open. Absolutely inward and centered, and all open and expansive. That is love. That's why I said there is no opposite to love, because love is all, full stop. Not love is all but something. Love is all, inclusive, all-encompassing, all-being. There can't be an opposite. There is no opposite. Fear, on the other hand, is either contracting or repelling. That's the energy, that's the dynamic of fear. That is when you are disengaged and you are occupying the fear body, the fear stories. Okay? So thank you very much for raising that, because what you're sharing is just a witnessing and observation of those dynamics that you're kind of shifting through, which, remember I said earlier, everyone is moving in and out of being engaged, being disengaged, being engaged, being disengaged. That's what you're witnessing in your meditation. And most of you get very frustrated with that and think you are failing at your meditation. You are not. That is simply the dynamic of you as this conscious experience here now. Momentary lapses, momentary forgettings. That's all. You are not failing at your meditation. You are simply going through a natural dynamic in the progression of consciousness. Okay? Thank you for raising
that. So what you're saying is that, like, to me, it is like a cellular level. Like, these are just bits that just haven't quite caught up with the love yet. And they may take a little bit longer than just sitting here for 5 minutes or 10 minutes.
Well, like I said, yes, certainly at a neurological level, you've developed these patterns, a sense of a framework, and so there are pathways that are very well habituated, and that's what develops at a cellular level. It starts with your neurology, how your consciousness is directed right from the beginning. That's where it starts. The good news is, in every single moment, you have the opportunity to be present as consciousness. And gradually you do recognize that even though you've got these patterns, this accumulation of energy that's built up because of those patterns or habits, even though you have that, it dissolves so readily when you are in presence. And, you know, beautiful comment from our brother here that, okay, there's some roughness or a few layers to get through, yet you recognize that underneath those layers there just is this vastness that's available. Yeah. Anything else?
I just became aware of the wasted energy that I spend. It could be so easy.
Yeah, and it's really important to acknowledge that's simply in relation to a certain level of conscious attendance, that's all. It's not because you've done anything wrong, it's just there's the outcome, there's the symptom, cause and effect. And your recognition of that is a gift. Unfortunately, many people take that as another opportunity to project some kind of negativity onto yourself and just add something more to that big conditional story of what it means to just become present. So I'm really glad that you recognize that too, because really it's pointing you to your own recognition of this truth. Your own experience of this truth, that it's not something complicated. And when you get that, you will be more engaged more often, and you will renounce this, you know, leaking or wasting of energy as you see it. Yeah. And thank goodness now, look how many people at 70, 80 years of age on their deathbed are looking back at what? Almost a whole lifetime of wasted moments. And that's what's going on. When you're not truly engaged as your essence in the moment, you haven't lived it. You have not received fully or given fully to that moment of life. Yeah, thank you.
The difference between the two states of engaging and disengaging, it's such a marked difference when my mind starts chattering during meditation.
Yeah.
And then I return back to awareness. There's such a big difference.
Yeah.
Whereas if I'm walking down the street, it's just, I hardly notice it.
But isn't that because you're just occupied in the mind anyway? That contrast doesn't seem evident. Again,
yes.
Why it's so important to cultivate this practice, really make the space and time for yourself daily to create the atmosphere where your witnessing of those states and your recognition of those states becomes more and more lucid. The more lucid your recognition of those states is, the more power you have within it. When you recognize those energies in yourself, you are in the position to shift your consciousness. No amount of teachings, formulas are going to do anything for you without you recognizing those energies in yourself. Okay. So cultivating the space daily. And I know you all come up with various reasons as to why it's too difficult sometimes. But let me ask you this. What's more difficult? Living from presence and essence, being fully engaged, being fully alive, or living in a state that is disengaged and being dull and in conflict? Lacking awareness, missing the moment. What is actually more difficult? It's really funny, isn't it, when you think about it that way?
I'm laughing because you could say our habits is the easy way, in a sense. I'm not playing devil's advocate or anything.
No.
For us, depending on our consciousness, because I was in the mind today and I was worrying and I was concerned and blah, blah, blah. And I went, ah. Oh. And I knew it. I was aware of it. And I went, ah, oh, witnessing awareness. I remember that. So I was in the shower and I witnessed it and was aware of it. And I went into presence and I went, oh, this is nice. And anyway, I got out of the shower, put on my clothes. And my gosh, I just started again.
Yeah. So I'm glad you raised that point because sadly, this is the illusion and this is the false security humanity has constructed. This false security that actually it is easier and more comfortable to stay in this state of ignorance and unconsciousness. Why? Because it's habit. Why? Because it's going to take some energy and some input for you to shift from that habit. And let's face it, humanity largely is quite a lazy sod. Well, too right. There's a lot of laziness in the human nature. So in a sense, well, as an illusion it seems easier. The point I'm making is the symptom results in enormous difficulty. Okay, so you keep buying into this story of, oh, I won't bother with that now. It's too hard for me now. Because you're too identified with this story anyway. And something in you wants to indulge that. But the loss of energy you experience, the conflict you experience is a hard grind. That's taking a lot of energy. That's taking enormous amounts of energy to keep going that way. That's not living. That's existing. That is not living. In any moment, you're just abandoning yourself to the habits of the unconscious self. You are just existing. That's it. And so, as I was pointing out, it actually really is much easier to live from presence. Everything does flow. Everything becomes much more alive. There is deeper awareness. There is always an innate awareness to respond to any situation in life. There really never, ever is a problem.
I suppose, from my point of view, it's not easier, but it feels so much better. Like when I was present, it felt so much better. And when I lost it again, I just went, ah, oh, like that. So to me, it's not necessarily easier. Mm.
So, okay, I get where you're coming from. You're coming from the perspective of having to readjust yourself in terms of a mechanism, like shifting from unconscious mechanism to conscious mechanism. So I get where you're coming from. In that respect, yeah, it's going to take application. It's going to take some effort, some willingness. And that's why in many instances it really is of benefit to have a teacher, because the teacher does and will look for more from you, because the teacher knows truly your greater potential. The teacher will gently nudge you, sometimes give you a swift kick maybe, but definitely move you forward. And you know what that's like. Yeah.
I've had this story going on for all my life, and it's improved in some ways. I've dropped some of it, and I'm finding it's still this same story that's going on. And I'm just wondering, like, okay, go into presence, but this story, does it need to wind itself down somehow? Like, is it something that I need to complete with? It's not a matter of just saying, okay, I'll go into presence. It just keeps reappearing.
Yes, it's true. And do you recall from the presence programs that I talk about the dynamic of moving between self-reflection and shift of perspective and simply surrendered presence, just pure presence? I talk about this dynamic that in terms of your process of moving from these states that are unconscious into more consciousness, it's never about just surrendering and just sit in silence and stillness and nothingness, because we are interactive, and the way you interact with the world is through your mind. And yes, you do need to wind down or complete that experience in a sense, which means you're going to engage with it. Either you're going to engage with it with the same story and have to suffer the consequences of that story until it really is enough suffering. And at that point, when it really is enough suffering, you drop it. Or you engage with it the moment the story comes up. You engage with conscious awareness and you gain maybe a slight shift of perspective, and you integrate that perspective. Then you feel, hang on, I still haven't got the full story, and you face it again. That's just the dynamic that's going to go on. And you have the tools. What are they? What brings you to that state of a shift of perspective, where it becomes a bit more inclusive, a bit more holistic?
What brings you? Just awareness, I suppose.
Right.
Yeah.
And what is the tool that leads you to that? Witnessing.
Yeah.
When you are witness to that story, to that behaviour, you truly witness it, it is impossible for you to not get an insight. In other words, you will get an insight. It may not be in that immediate moment, but it will come. Absolutely guaranteed. Because witnessing is that aware self that is truth. That aware self is essence. That essence is love, is all-encompassing, is all-inclusive, and will bring itself back to wholeness. Whatever seems like it's not, whatever is forgotten will come back to that wholeness. Yes.
Would you say that self-realization would be the engaging yourself all the time in that state?
Self-realization is where there's nothing but that presence anyway. There's no longer an identification with any idea of condition, any idea of the mind's constructs. The mind is still a functioning tool, but it's not from a disengaged state. So the mind can function, But there's just a complete, constant, engaged self that is aware.
And is that how you approach self-realization, trying to be engaged with the essence of yourself? Is that good advice for other people?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's about, rather than a trying, it's about an availability to being engaged and recognizing that the more you make yourself available to that, rather than try, it becomes an invitation, it becomes a curiosity, it becomes a fascination, it becomes something exciting. You know, when you set it up as something you have to try to do, when you pit it against these conditions that you dislike in yourself, it is a chore. And I'm really emphasizing this point. It's very important because I can guarantee you nearly everyone in this room has some of that functioning. There's this pitting against that part of you that you don't like the way it's operating. So it means it's work. And that is largely why you avoid it. When you avoid it, that's actually what's going on underneath. So if you change that dynamic into recognizing how easy it actually is when you're in presence. I know that's a conundrum to the part of you that's this mechanism that's thinking, oh, but I've got to shift from the unconscious to the conscious. If you change your perspective and you see it as an availability, an invitation, it will become more and more deeply curious. Something that you want to let yourself into. It's no longer a task or a chore. Or because something inside of you is bad or wrong. There's nothing bad or wrong inside of you. There's just these energies accumulated because you've been disengaged. That's all. Nothing else.
So if you can totally accept yourself and be a witness to yourself from that inner essence point of view, that's a good goal to go for.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, in a sense there seems to be a forgetting, if you see what I mean.
Hmm.
It's kind of all that stuff. It's kind of just all that stuff, you know, about yesterday, tomorrow. It's kind of all forgotten in this state.
Yeah.
And the state is ruined.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, now, just nowness. That's it. I guess the conundrum for the human experience is within this nowness is this incredible tool, the mind, this perceptive faculty for us to relate with life. It's a tool to interact with life. And given as such, there is the perception of past and future. And even in terms of now, you can't say now is just now full stop and doesn't contain a past or a future, what our mind calls past or future, because actually it does. We're being and becoming simultaneously. We're all that is, all that ever has been, and all that ever will be. We are it. And the mind to interact with life actually breaks that down into perceptive chunks. So we have the capacity to have foresight, to have vision, to have desires, and we project ourselves into a notion of something other than what we're actually being or experiencing now. And yet, before we know it, that then is the now, right? So that's the conundrum for the human experience. That's why it seems like such a conflict, or it seems like you keep negating yourself. On the one hand, you want to surrender to this now. On the other, you're this human, alive, interacting experience with desires, with visions. You can't stop having visions. It will be impossible for you to dislocate yourself from images and visions of past and future. What is vital is that you do not identify with it at a level that is false. You see it for what it is, that where you are most alive, or where you're truly alive, is in the now. Yes, you can have visions without attachment. No attachment. When you're disengaged, though, what are you actually doing? You're projecting yourself into that future idea or a past moment and attaching to it. You're actually attaching emotional identification to it. That's the conflict.
Yeah, it's like it's a disinterest in when there used to be this huge interest in the past and the future. It's just a disinterest. It's not disinterested in life.
No. It just doesn't charge you up anymore.
In the blah, blah, blah.
Yes,
yeah. It goes on.
Yeah. That's wonderful. So it's a quality of freedom, you know, freeing yourself of that baggage so you don't need to carry it along with you. If anything from the past is of relevance, it will reveal itself and serve in whatever fashion it's meant to in the new now. Perhaps we will finish with a sharing, witnessing, an acknowledgement again of essence. And this time I'm going to ask you to keep your eyes open, just to connect with your breath again, connect with the energy of you that is here, the energy that is in this room, this moment. Just feel it, experience it here now. You can only experience it in this moment. So see how deeply and fully and richly you can engage with this moment as it is right now. And don't feel like you have to necessarily just sit and look in one direction. Certainly be centered, but just allow yourself to really engage with what is here. So as we share in this essence now, let's just acknowledge with heartfelt gratitude what it means to be truly engaged with ourself, as consciousness, with life, with each other. And in expressing this gratitude, we acknowledge and recognize this eternal, forever present one self, this infinite essence that is our oneness, our being. So we will finish with 7 Oms. Namaste.